I welcome everyone back. This is the fifth shiur in the Shari Tshuva, the Gates of Repentance of Rabbeinu Yonah Gurundi. God willing, today we are going to be covering the next three principles, the 10th through the 12th, of the 20 principles of Tshuva. Just as a quick review, those 20 principles: regret, leaving sin, sorrow, first three, next three, expressions of sorrow, worry, shame, humbling oneself, humility indeed, breaking physical desire, brings us to nine. And then we begin where we're going to start today, which is amelioration of deeds in the same areas as the sin, searching one's ways is the 11th, investigating the magnitude of sin is the 12th, and then following that are the next group of seeing the light sins as great sins in his eyes, confession, prayer, correcting misdeeds, pursuing kindness and truth, number 18, constantly remembering one's sins, forsaking sin when challenged, and turn others from sin. So God willing, over the next couple of weeks, throughout the holidays, we will be continuing the shiurim. And hopefully by Hoshana Rabbah, please God, we will be able to finish the 20th principle, turn others from sin, reaching a culmination, just as we have now of the entire Tshuva period at Hoshana Rabbah, a culmination of the principles of Tshuva, God willing, at the same time. Today, we're beginning now the 10th principle, Ha'ikar Ha'asiri, the 10th principle, which is Lehetiv Pa'alav B'davar Asher Yezada Alav, amelioration of deeds in the same areas as the sin. Yimistakel Ba'arayot, for example, Rabbeinu Yonah gives us, if a person was to have, God forbid, had to make use of his eyes, these tremendous faculties that are there for him to perceive the world around him and be able to enjoy, if he had made use of those faculties, meaning those eyes, he'd use them for vision in areas that he should not have been looking. In that particular situation, then how does he rectify that sin? Yitnaheg b'shahut einayim. So what does he do? He makes careful in particular that he makes use of his eyes in a humbling way by constantly having his eyes downfallen, meaning that he doesn't look into somebody's face when he's speaking to him directly, and he shies away a little bit. Not that he shies away so completely that it seems as if a person is not, he's not paying attention to him, or he's not giving him respect, but rather to shy away in that slight manner that will give him the respect, that will show that he is showing respect to the person who's speaking to him. Im hata b'lashon hara, if he made use of his faculties of speech in order to be able to hailbear, in order to be able to speak poorly of someone else, in order to cause that poor person damage, if he had gone ahead and he had done that, how then can he fix this faculty of speech? Yasok b'Torah, he can turn around and use his lips, use his mouth, in order to be able to learn Torah. This famous story that once someone came to a certain Rebbe asking for a tikkun, asking that he should be able to reorder and repair his soul for having said Lashon Hara. So this great Rebbe told him that he should take this pillow that was sitting next to him, and he should take all the feathers that's in that pillow and go from place to place within the city, and he should drop off in every single corner a few of these feathers. When he's done, he should come back to the Rebbe. So he went ahead and he did this, hoping and praying that this would be somehow or another a means for repairing his sin for having tailbeared against his brothers. So he returns back to the king. He returns back then to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe then asking him, "Did you do what I asked? Did you go ahead? Did you place these feathers in every corner?" And he answered, "Yes." He says, "Now your final part of your tikkun, go back and pick up all the feathers." So it is with Lashon Hara. It is tremendous, tremendous avon, tremendous sin. It's almost impossible to be able to truly be able to repair it. Nevertheless, by being osik in Torah, by learning Torah, as Rabbeinu Yonah tells us, as a means to be able to begin repairing our situation, repairing that sin, he says, we go ahead and we use the same faculties of speech which we used improperly, now properly, God willing, it will begin to train our lips to speak His truth and bring us, B'ezrat Hashem, God willing, step by step into a proper way of always expressing ourselves, meaning in the way of Torah. One of the things that I had always held in the most highest respect, particularly of those coming from, of those chachamim, of those rabbis coming from Israel, who have a tremendous cup, a tremendous mind for being able to remember psukim, that it's amazing that within every single day, clear speech, just speaking one to the other, how many times within a phrase, within a paragraph, they can make use of psukim as part of their actual dibur, as part of their actual speech. Being that's the case, if a person is uttering the holy words of the Tanakh in every word that he utters, how then could he ever possibly come to sin? So here too also we can understand how learning of Torah is a means and a beginning to fixing that sin, that awful sin of Lashon Hara, of tailbearing. And so it is with every single one of our limbs that we have bought the sin, that we should turn around now and we should try and find a way to perform mitzvot with those parts of our body that were involved in the sin. The feet that had been so quick to run to evil, they should run to matters of mitzvot, matters of fulfilling God's will. Lashon sheker, if a person is going to be speaking falsehoods, emet yegeh hiko, upiv yiftach b'chokhmah, v'tor da lashono. It should be always that truth is that which that should be what's on his lips at all time. Yedayim shofchot dam, says God forbid, a person whose hands has bought blood, has spilled blood. Patoach yiftach hido le'achav da'aniyim. What then should he do? He should open up his hands with all his heart and give as much as he can to the poor. It's known that a person who is lacking in his ability to be able to mufarnes, to be able to provide sustenance for himself, such a person is like a person who is dead. That person finds himself in a situation where every day he finds himself drowning, trying to be able to recover, just to be able to make ends meet. So this person who spilt the blood of another can go ahead and warm again the blood. Can go ahead and warm the blood of someone else. And Naim Ramot, a person who should raise his eyes up, giving honor to himself. That person should go ahead and so forth, humble himself before God, lowering always his head, lowering his eyes. Lev choresh machshivot aven, b'libo yitzpon imrei Torah v'yehagut libo tfunot. Person whose heart, his heart which is drawing and desiring all those things which are not proper for him, not befitting of the great and holy soul that he has within him, that person should turn around and he should draw within himself a deep desire to run after the Torah, and day and night it should be that he spends his time using the power of his heart, his power of contemplation, to contemplate the words of Torah. One of my Rabbanim once said during a shiur, he says, who is truly the real masmid? Who is truly the person who is a matmid, the person who is constant in his learning, a person who exemplifies the aspect of Torah, of consistent and constant learning of Torah? Is that the person who sits there in the Beis Medrash for 20 hours a day? Perhaps. If that 20 hours is consistent and total within the Sefer. But the real Matmid, the one who is deserving of this title more than anyone else, is the one who, when he closes the Sefer, continues to learn. that wherever he may find himself, Torah continues to be in his mind and in his heart. Many of us find ourselves in a situation where we're not able to spend 20 hours consistently behind the Sefer. Halavai, it should only be. But since that very well is not the case, we need to do our best to be able to prepare ourselves to live in this world. That means to say, constantly being osek in Torah, and also making use of the power of memorization, to memorize Mishnayot, to memorize Halachot, to memorize sayings of our Chachamim, of our sages, that we'll be able to repeat over and over again in our mind. There's nothing more valuable than being able to turn to those special sayings, special words of the Chachamim, when the moments come and arise. In many ways, that perhaps is one of the most critical things in our times to be able to do, is to go ahead and to memorize something like Pirkei Avot, so that this way, during our work and during the time when we are away from the Sefer, we constantly have that with us. Meshalach medanim ben achim yivakesh shalom yirfeu. A person who had been involved in creating and stirring up machloket, stirring up argument between brothers, what then can that person look to do? That person can look to turn around and become someone who runs and asks and tries to bring peace between people. Starting at the 36th Ot Lamed Vav, the 36th chapter of the Shari Tshuva, Ha'ikar Ha'achadesar, the 11th principle, Chipush Derachav, searching of one's ways. Once a person has gone ahead and he has made his way through the principles up to this point, he finds that he has arranged things in such a way that he has managed to deal with that which is obvious and sitting there in front of him. Meaning he's gone ahead and he has regretted his sin. He's stopped sinning. He's developed a sense of sorrow. He's expressed that before God. He builds up within himself a sense of worry and a sense of shame. He humbles himself. He's humble in his deed. He breaks his physical desires, and he performs acts that are counteracting to that which he did. It is important, though, for the one who is looking to repent, not only to deal with that which he sinned, but also to deal with the very roots of where the sin came from, and to create and to recreate himself into a being that does not have sin connected to it, that abhors sin, and that moves away from sin. The beginning of that, the beginning of one's being able to cleanse his essence and his being, is to look deeply within oneself, to do a regular cheshbon nefesh, a regular accounting of his soul. So when the Chachamim, when our great sages were metakem, when they went ahead and they established for us that we should say the Kriyat Shema Lamita, that we should say the prayers before going to sleep, that it was at that time that they told us that every single evening, after having recited the Shema Yisrael, that we then turn and make a very careful cheshbon nefesh, a very careful accounting of our soul and who we are. V'yaseichen l'shlosh devarim. And so for three reasons this is important. Ha'echad, l'man yizkor kol devarim shechata alehem, so that a person will remember all those things which he sinned. V'yitvadea kulam, and in fact he will admit, he will do vidui, he will admit his sins before God. Ki havidui me'ikre hakapara, for admitting one's sin before God is one of the fundamental principles of repentance. As we learned before, in order for a person to be able to be forgiven, he has to regret his sin, he has to stop sinning, he has to do vidur, he has to admit his sins before God. He has to accept upon himself in the future never to sin again. And when presented with that sin once more, not to give in. So the first thing that becomes important in terms of searching one's ways is to understand that we have to know that in fact that we have sinned. And this constant searching into oneself will be able to identify little tiny sins and little things that a person may have done throughout the day and throughout his life without realizing. It's not too infrequent that a person may go through a day through numerous conversations with fellow employees, with friends, with family, that they may have said something without realizing that would have been something that would have been negative, something that would have caused them some pain or some grief. And it's only after reflecting later on in the evening of the day all that which a person has said that he comes to realize that which he had done. Hasheni, the second reason, leman yeda kama lo avonot v'chataot v'yosif lichana. The second reason is to reinforce and to strengthen and develop one's sense of humility. By knowing how many sins he has, by realizing how imperfect he is as a being, he develops within himself furthermore a sense of humility and is further capable of humbling himself in recognizing his true position before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nothing. Nothing except the mission that was handed to him. As we learned before in the Erech, on the chapter on Hachna, on humbling oneself, but that is the one aspect of oneself that he must embrace. That mission that he has to do. Everything else he has to realize is nothing. And by recognizing where he fell away from that mission, he can further reinforce within himself the need to work on a daily strengthening of himself to fulfill his mission. Vashlishi, the third reason, ki af al pi shehu mekabel alav la'azov kol chet srich shiyada hadvarim asher chata alehem. So even if a person accepts upon himself that he's going to throw away sin, that's it, I'm going to be about tshuva, that's it, I'm going to do what's right, it's also important that he knows in fact what he did, what he has sinned. How can he throw off what he doesn't know what he's done? G'day la'asod behem gedarim. And more importantly, once he identifies those places where he's fallen, he can begin to create borders, boundaries. Because then, once he understands his problem, then he's able to protect his soul from his desires. The fact of the matter is, he fell in sin to this matter before. Without any question, this is a sign to him that he's prone to sin in those areas. Rabbeinu Yonah tells us something very important here, something very fundamental. He tells us that one of the reasons why we came to sin, one of the reasons why we fell into the hands of our desires, was that it was something light in our eyes. Creating borders, creating fences, emphasizes, constructs, and builds up the idea that that sin which we were prone to is important and has repercussions. Reminds me to some degree of a friend of mine that every time he would say something of an improper nature, he had a jar and he would place coins in that jar. The jar actually filled up with quite a bit of money. But eventually, though, by going ahead and materializing the importance of his improper speech and the effects and the damage that it had, in this case, the damage to his wallet, he was able then to take hold of his power of speech and direct it into something more positive. And so it is the case with all those things. And this is going to be the next principle that we'll get to in a moment. How we need to develop and understand each and every single mitzvah's importance. And here, where we know we have already fallen to sin, one of the best ways to develop its importance is to develop its fences. A person who sees a large house says, "Wow, beautiful, wonderful, large house." But once a person places large fences and guards on the outskirts of that home, all of a sudden, that not just becomes a nice home, that becomes an important person's home. For if he needs such security, how important must he be? And so that's where it is. And that's exactly what we're talking about. That once a person has fallen into sin, he needs now to develop borders around those sins. And this develops within himself an importance for those sins and staying away from them. Understand that if you fell to these sins, you're now sick from them. A person might, normally speaking, be able to jump into a cold lake and be able to swim around and enjoy himself and think it's a refreshing swim. And a person might there in that lake be able to protect himself properly from all the various elements of that lake that can cause him harm. Perhaps a snake, perhaps here in Florida, a small alligator. Whatever the case is, if he's healthy and well, he's able to protect himself properly. But if he's not, how then is he going to be able to get to shore on time? How then will he be able to fend off these attackers? So understand, the only way to do that then is if he's going to jump in the lake, to wear a protective suit, meaning to further protect himself, to further watch himself, to further create borders. And why? Rabbi Yonah tells us, because his soul is already sick from the sin. And so it is the case that when a person is sick and now he's recovering, that it's very important for him to protect himself more from the elements and from those things which can bring about sickness than he normally would if he was healthy. So no one is saying to create new rules, but to create strongholds around the rules that exist in order to protect oneself from the possibility of sin. If one knows that by him entering into conversations about various subjects, that those conversations are going to drift off into improper discussions, be them discussions of Lashon Hara about people, talebearing about people, be them discussions of a complete and total improper nature, because of the person perhaps that he may be discussing things with. Don't even allow oneself to enter into the beginnings of such a discussion. A person creates a barrier. And so it is with every single thing. We get now the 12th principle, Haikar Hashnim Hasar. Srich Shiachkor Vyada Vyakir Godel Haonesh Lokolachad Mabunotav. A person must investigate, know, and recognize and understand the magnitude of every sin and its punishments. True, fear of punishment is a very low form of awe, a very low form of fear of the heavens. But there is a toilet, there is a purpose and a reason to develop a deeper understanding of what the punishments are for every sin. Rabbeinu Yonah tells us, Be'ezem hem yesh makot, a person should know which of those sins carries the punishment of whipping. Uve'ezi yesh chayve kretut, uve'ezi yesh chayve mitot beitin. Which of those sins bring excision to the person that he should be spiritually cut off? Which of those sins would bring a person to death at the hands of the Beit Din? Leman, why? Why is it important to know this? Leman yita godel avono behidvadoto. In order that he should know the greatness of this sin when it comes time for him to admit his sins before God. Vimarer bifchi alasher ichis tamurim. And he should bitter his heart on the anger and bitterness that he caused. How horrible. Think for a moment. Who cares more for you than anyone else in the world? In this physical world, perhaps your father and mother. But beyond your father and mother is the third element of your being, God. No one cares more for you than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's entire reason for bringing you into this world is to bestow good upon you. And yet, nevertheless, in your rebellion, you bring about a situation where, in truth, you are deserving of such horrible punishments, afflictions. You think this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for you? Is this what he wants to give to you? Your bitterness in tears can never reach the level of bitterness caused above for what you've done. God in his infinite kindness opens the doors for us to repent, and for that we can never thank him enough. And that's why Leman Yosif Lichana, Rabbeinu Yonah tells us that in this process of understanding the magnitude of sin and the fact that in the heavens there should be a bitterness to have to react and punish, given that it can only humble a person further, Uleman yifchad ma'avonotav, and in order also to bring about a fear of one's sins, realizing how hard every one of our acts against God are. Should develop within us a true fear and understanding what's really due to us. Whippings, excision, death. We truly should be afraid. If not for the wondrous day of Yom Kippur that approaches us very quickly, who of us would be able to stand even alive in this world without this great gift and compassion from God in forgiveness of our sins? The worst of all sins, though, Yom Kippur is not always enough. Ki avirot hamurot, the worst of all sins, tshuva tola chaparatan visurin mamarkim. That even if we may have this benevolence, this forgiveness from God coming to us very soon, our worst sins, though, may only hold things at bay with the necessity of afflictions in our life to truly be able to clean away those sins. And from that we must fear. And this idea of the magnitude of sin and its punishments, this will be explained in the third shahr by Rabbeinu Yonah.